Chapter 18, Artful Dodging. Palpatine had been on Coruscant for just over 2 standard months when the Senate convened to vote on whether or not to seat Felucia, Makana, and a half a dozen other planets considered by many to be client worlds of the Trade Federation. In the hope of generating public interest, Coruscant Climate Control had promised to provide perfect weather over the government district. Clouds had been swept aside, and orbital mirrors had been positioned to provide maximum daylight. Maintenance droids had refreshed the paving stones of Senate Plaza and polished the 30-meter-tall statues that lined the avenue of the core founders. Police had cordoned off large areas of the district between levels 55 and 106 and deployed sniper units, squads of bomb detector automata, and 3 times the usual number of security hover cams. Reporters, documentarians, freelance journalists, and op-ed columnists were out in force, calling in favors in an effort to be as close to the action as possible. Limousine services were working overtime, and taxis were nearly impossible to find, which left aides and assistants to fend for themselves. Arriving on foot or by maglev, ensembles freshly laundered, headpieces blocked, fur coiffed, boots buffed. Even the Jedi Knights and Padawans stationed throughout the plaza as a show of force appeared to be sporting their cleanest robes and tunics. Analysts were touting the vote as landmark, though it had been an admittedly slow news week on Coruscant. More to the point, a vast majority of the capital's residents couldn't have cared less about the outcome, since most only knew of the Trade Federation through self-serving advertisements that streamed on the holonet. Local gossip was always more interesting than politics in any case. For weeks, however, opponents and supporters of the amendments that would revise the rules regarding member status in the Republic had been giving voice to their arguments in the Great Rotunda, often vociferously enough to shake their repulsor lift platforms, jabbing fingers and other appendages in the air for emphasis or accusation, in defiance of calls by the Vice Chancellor for order and decorum. Standing with Saint Pestage and Kinman Doriana beneath the abstract statue of Core Founder Tyler Sapius Praji, Palpatine felt one step closer to his destined place, even if the scene in the plaza struck him as more Vanity Fair than senatorial assembly. Like many of the others, he had been out half the night drinking and dining with lobbyists eager to win his favor. At Tapcafs, cantinas, restaurants, and nightclubs throughout the entertainment districts, credits had flowed freely. Whispered bribes had been proffered, promises made, deals struck. Now some of the players he had encountered during the long evening were shuffling, bleary-eyed, through the gaping entrances of the umbrella-shaped Senate building. Senators and their top aides, commissioners of the investment sector and securities exchange, members of the Trade Federation delegation, and the board of the Intergalactic Banking Clan. Elsewhere on the broad avenue, at key intersections, taxi stops, and maglev exits, stood groups of Jedi, a few with the hilts of their lightsabers conspicuously visible. For Palpatine, the sight of so many of them in one place was at once exhilarating and sobering. Though thoroughly cloaked in the everyday, he could feel their collective pride trickle into him through the Force. Only the baseness of Coruscant's populace, the almost sheer absence of anything natural, kept the world from being as strong in the light as Korriban was in the dark. While he accepted that he and Plagueis were more than equal to the most powerful of the Jedi Order, he understood that they were no match for their combined strength, the Sith imperative notwithstanding. The Jedi would fall only with the full collaboration of the dark side. That was, only when the dark side of the Force was ready and willing to conspire in their downfall.